Mark Kidd, let's talk about evolution. I don't mean the Darwinian kind, but Mark, you're the CEO of Captivate, which is known primarily for its huge network of video screens and elevators, so out-of-home content. But I want to know also on the personal side, how you evolved and how being the son of a famous coach, Roy Kidd, who even had a stadium named after him, and by the way, a champion baton twirling mom, helped you get to where you are today. You went into sports radio and now digital out of home. So let's talk about change. How did all of that come about?
It's been quite a ride, I must tell you. Let's talk about change and evolution, one of the constants in life. I grew up on a college campus. My father was a football coach at Eastern Kentucky University in Richmond, Kentucky. My mom was a championship baton twirler, and I can even today twirl a baton pretty expertly with my fingers because I used to twirl with her. And so she taught baton classes. And so when I graduated from high school, the expectation was I would go to Eastern and be a manager on the football team and receive a scholarship. And my dad turned in the scholarship list, and he was told by the president, Roy, you can't have your son be on scholarship. That's nepotism. So at that point, we hadn't saved for college, and my mother's baton money, along with the money I got from high school graduation, paid for my first semester at Eastern, and I wasn't able to be a manager. And so I got to school and realized after taking accounting 108 and 109 that I thought I didn't really want to do that for a living. And I started looking around and I was fascinated by sitting in my home or my dorm room and being able to listen to radio stations coming in from San Antonio and Louisville, Kentucky and Chicago. And I got kind of the radio bug. So I became a broadcasting major. And when I graduated with that degree, I went to work for a company in Lexington, Kentucky called Jim Host & Associates. In the case of Jim Host, he said, look, I don't have a big salary or anything I can pay you, but if you'll come to work for me, I'll give you a draw versus commission of $1,000 a month. And I shook his hand and said, okay, tell me when to start. And that's how I started.
I love that evolution story. And we have a couple things in common. In addition to not loving accounting, you've said that you never saw a game, a football game from the stands. And I say I was raised in the press box because my dad was actually a sportscaster in New Jersey radio. But in some sports, I did have to watch from the stands because back then, girls, even little girls, were not allowed in the press box. Happily, things have changed. But anyway, thank you so much for perfectly teeing up what's going to be, I know, an amazing conversation about Captivate and about digital out of home and how we and you all sort of pivot with change and still hopefully manage to thrive in our crazy media world. Hey, it's E.B. Moss, and this is episode 43 of Insider Interviews. Today, I'm talking to Mark Kidd, who's the CEO of Captivate, the top location-based video media network. The best way to describe it? I love their About Us. It sums it up beautifully. They say, Captivate recognize the lengths that people go to avoid personal interaction during confined elevator rides and set out to develop a solution that would alleviate elevator awkwardness. Even better than Muzak, right? So they brought us digital media screens, and now they're in more than 30 markets. But given the pandemic and less foot traffic in office buildings in the first year, you'll hear how Mark led a pivot and took the screens beyond the office to where their audiences were now working, like at home and living and playing like at the golf course. Before Captivate, Mark worked in sports media, which is no surprise because his dad was a Hall of Fame football coach, Roy Kidd. Mark worked at Host Communications, where he helped create the NCAA Partner Program, onto Wintercom and Outdoor Channel Holdings. And from outdoor, he went to out of home, which he'll explain in this episode, along with some great life lessons. So, Mark Kidd, before we get into what the company is, I want you to set the stage for everybody with sort of a general explanation of this thing called DOOH, digital at a home. What does that really encompass and mean in terms of marketing tactics and things?
I'll tell you, the term's kind of evolved in my tenure. When I came in, digital out of home was really place-based networks. These were digital networks located in specific places. In the case of Captivate, it was in office buildings. And there were others like Gas Station TV that's located at gas stations. So the defining factor was really the location of the screens. Since that time, you've seen a lot of billboard companies actually use the term digital out of home because they've created and converted their physical spaces into digital spaces where they can change the advertising from afar. So what Captivate is today is we're really a digital video network that's located in office buildings. And since the pandemic, we've had to move out of office buildings and also focus on residential and venues where that same audience we reach in offices can be reached.
That makes sense. I definitely want to hear more about how you had to pivot, but taking the elevator to the top floor, treetops perspective about what Captivate is. Are you a digital video network? Are you a media company? Are you location-based out of home?
We like to think of ourselves as all the above, but the way I would describe it to someone is we're a digital video network engaging busy people where they work, live, and play, and we make life better for them. When I came into the job, what I learned about Captivate is we were in this awkward social space elevators where when you get into them, most people don't talk to you. They look down at their feet or their belly button. And if there's something for you to focus on in the space, you would look at it. In the early days, they introduced music because it was this uncomfortable place and music was a way to settle and soothe people. Over time, digital video came into being and the founders of Captivate really put in screens that in my mind were like PowerPoint presentations to engage people. And people would naturally look at them and the engagement rates of our screens is in the 90 percentile for someone that's in the elevator. The other thing that I learned about elevators in particular when I started looking at this job is there are more people that travel in elevators every single day than any other form of transportation. So while elevators aren't thought of as part of a transit system, the reality is they're very much a part of the transit system. And if it were not for elevators, you would not be able to have high rises and places like the former World Trade Towers and all these big buildings around the world that are coming into vogue.
That is so interesting about the amount of traffic or travel in elevators. I also have seen those futuristic elevators that they're trying to build that goes sideways. It's fascinating. So that was a great elevator speech, by the way. So you mentioned that really high engagement rate, which is interesting to me because I think it's intuitive that the screens would enable a lot of awareness marketing. But how do you get folks to engage while they're in elevators to also serve the performance marketing master, if you will?
When I came to Captivate, I heard from everyone, it's an effective medium. It works for brands to get things done. But other than Nielsen ratings, we didn't really have any attribution tools. I couldn't demonstrate in 2013 that you could punch a screen, it would take you someplace, capture that information about you, and be able to show an advertiser. So I remember probably the first year and a half I was there, I sat through tons of presentations with Dan Levy, who's now the chief marketing officer for Clear Channel. He was the chief marketing officer for Captivate. And we would sit through all kinds of meetings trying to figure out how to tie the person in front of the screen and the advertising on the screen to some type of an outcome. And in those days, we started working with a company called XAD, which now is Ground Truth. And they were able to geofence buildings, and we were starting to get insights about those people because we could see the ad calls coming off of the devices. We could start to understand a lot more about it. And so we worked with them. And when we put out the press release, we got a lot of interest from the ad community and from advertisers. And so we used that. And then over a couple of years, it was very effective, allowed us to do some things. And then what began to happen is it was starting to be adopted by a number of people. So Captivate didn't have this special sauce anymore. And also we have a panel that we call Office Pulse that is inside of our footprint where we talk to our viewers. There's about 6,000 to 7,000 of them, and we talk to them every month. We ask them, what do you like? What don't you like? How do you feel about the content? We ask them questions about advertising. That panel gives us a tremendous amount of insights of how people think about work today and how they react to the things we actually put on the screen. And so we use that feedback to guide us for both advertisers on the effectiveness, but also in the way in which we, you know, evolve our content strategies, the way in which we introduce topics and things that are interesting to them. Today, Captivate has a number of attributes and tools. Alda is the company that runs our Office Pulse, so we work with them to run that. We found that Placed was able to deliver foot store lift from our locations to someplace else, so we work with Placed Foursquare on that. We have a business relationship with Coachava, and Coachava is someone that helps manage and can tell us about app downloads. So if a brand is trying to drive app downloads and things of that nature, we can track that there. We introduced a business called Mira that we work with that measures website lift, so we can see whether or not we're driving traffic to websites and what the lift is on that. And then this past year, we introduced QR codes, which was something that had been used early on, but it was kind of awkward. And iPhones and phones in general, it was so fast that you couldn't capture it. Now, you know, during the pandemic, one of the benefits is you've got a QR code on your phone. You can hold it up, and it's extremely effective for any kind of digital screen. And so that has been a useful tool that we're excited about and we believe builds real attribution. And our philosophy is that we can't claim anything in a presentation or something that we show an advertiser that we cannot footnote to a third party, because I wanted to be sure that we could build trust in our brand and what we stood for. And Captivate had really done that with both the real estate community and also with the ad community. And when I got there, all I had to do was to push us from static into digital video, because I thought that was the future of PlaceBase. And I understood, having been in the media world, that you really needed to create an affinity and engaged relationship with your viewers if you were going to create the kind of environment that advertisers wanted to be a part of. And I learned from listening to real estate partners that the reason they put Captivate into the screens to begin with is it was a way for them to engage the tenants in their building. They knew the businesses because they had contractual relationships with them. But in most cases, they didn't really know the tenants. And so if they wanted the tenants to turn off the lights, to flush the toilets, to let them know that there was going to be a Christmas, you know, drive for coats, they would go in and put up posters or stickers all over the building, and it didn't look very good. And it was quite expensive and labor intensive. And so when Captivate came along, that was really the business proposition to the real estate community, is Captivate will give you a tool to talk to your tenants on a daily basis and manage that relationship. And that has proven to be true over almost 25 years of service that Captivate has had to the real estate community.
Wow, Mark, that was a lot of information. And I'm going to encourage everyone to play this back like 17 times. But just in case you want to get that scoop, I'll add a link to everything in the show notes. But Mark, I want to go back to what you said about how Captivate evolved from just feeling like static signage. I think you described it almost like PowerPoint on a screen, to now you're more of a media company with offering a service to people in elevators. What were your first steps in, and what was that evolution like?
Well, I was first approached about the job at Captivate by Mark Shapiro, who had been a client of mine when he was at ESPN, and he thought that I should consider interviewing for the CEO. And I said, you're out of your mind. I mean, nobody cares about screens and elevators. Why would I want to do that? And so he came back and he said, look, I think this is a really interesting company. He said, they're reaching this office, you know, customer every single day, and I'll come on the board. We can get the right people around you. And what I learned is I had been working in the television production business, and we worked with lots of associations like horse racing and rodeo and fishing and golf communities. And I found that each one had a distinct affinity market with the consumers around those sports. And I had been working for the Outdoor Channel, which was really a B, C, and D County rural cable network reaching men that had a $70,000 a year household income, you know, had a $50,000 truck, had a deer lease, had a trailer, had a bunch of stuff. And I began to realize that this was a really powerful group of consumers and that advertisers, for the most part, in Madison Avenue were not paying attention to them. So we focused on doing that. When I looked back at this network but didn't have video, I said, well, can we turn it into video? And I was told yes. And then I'm like, well, this is the opposite audience. This is an urban luxury, really, in terms of their household income levels. These are working, busy professionals. They're very hard to reach. Most of them spend 8 to 9 hours, 10 hours a day in an office environment where there is the fastest internet speeds. There are computers available for them to transact. And the thesis was if we could turn it into a video network, we could reach this hard to reach, busy professional and would be able to monetize it. And that proved true after we repositioned the business, introduced video, changed the content mix. And we thought about it more like a television network as opposed to a digital out of home network. That was really the way we looked at it.
Got it. And that is very forward thinking of you. But now looking back, Mark, this is the $1 million question, because you were running a company that was primarily focused on office buildings, and then the pandemic hit, and what did you do? Because people weren't going into those buildings so much. How did you protect the base, as they say?
Yeah, so on March 11th, it was clear that the business was going to be hurt because our audience was going to be told to stay home and work from home and not come to the office. And I remember sitting down with our board and said, okay, I have no idea how this is going to go in terms of time, but in terms of managing the business, we're going to have to move from managing an EBITDA business, which we've done for the last 8 years, and we're going to have to focus on managing a cash business. How much cash do I need to have to be able to be sure that we'll be okay as a business until audiences can come back into the footprint? Wow. So we debated it, and the discussion was you need to have probably a minimum of 12 months cash on the balance sheet to be able to manage through, and by that time, surely this will be behind us. So we made decisions that we needed to reduce headcount. We were going to need to take pay cuts. We were going to preserve the business so that we had enough free cash to get through 12 months. And by the end of March, we had made all those decisions, which were difficult. There weren't any fun. We lost some good people during that process. But we set ourselves on a course to allow us to survive. And so those were the moves that we had to make. We then started to say to ourselves, okay, well, how can we take advantage of this time and accelerate the digitization of the network, accelerate and figure out a way to help our real estate clients? Because we kept hearing stories that when people came back to the office, like at the Salesforce Tower, they were saying it could be a 2.5 hour wait. So I had this image of an airport where you had people queuing up to come through a building and then to get into elevators. So I said to our team, is there a product that we can go find or that we can build and create that has a large screen on it, but also offers temperature scanning and hand sanitization? And our guy said, yeah, I think there's something out there. Let's go to work and talk. Well, it turns out one of our suppliers had such a product. And so we started working with the supplier to figure out how we could introduce a new product called Captivate Scan. And the purpose of that was really to help our real estate partners. And fortunately, a number of them liked it. In fact, Empire Realty uses the scan in all of their buildings across the New York footprint, including the Empire State Building. And we worked really closely with them because we had to modify the product. The product came from China. There was a Chinese language on it. We had to modify and put in new voice files. We had to figure out how to learn how to load in the pictures of all the employees that would be coming into a building so the scan device could recognize them and then tie it back to the building security system to grant someone access. And then if they didn't have a mask on or if they had temperature, it needed to flag that. So we did all this work in about really a 60 to 90 day period of time. We introduced SCAN. We worked again closely with Empire Realty and we rolled it out, and it did really, really well. So we were excited about it. We pushed our product and operations team because we had started 5 years ago with the idea of having a digital network that had programmatic capabilities in it. And so during the pandemic, we accelerated all that. We moved the back office of the network to the cloud. And we worked with AWS to re-engineer the network. And today we've gone from having 6-7 generations of hardware in the field to 2, all of them that can play. By the end of this year, we'll have a refresh that will roll out for 2022. It'll be HTML enabled. There'll be 6 programmatic platforms integrated in that service. And the beautiful thing about it is it's screen agnostic, meaning it can play on any one screen that can take a URL and put it into the space. So that we're really excited about. It's opened up a lot of new business opportunities for us, and it'll allow us to work with other screen manufacturers. We have relationships with some where they distribute our content, and we believe we'll be able to do that with some of the original equipment manufacturers of the world and go places that Captivate hasn't been able to go before. And then the only other thing we looked hard at as we came through this is we learned early on that content was incredibly important to engaging consumers. And most digital out of home is a sequential feed of ads one after another. It's content, yes, but once you get through that initial loop, you're just seeing the same ads over and over. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to really think about how we use content. And early on, if we didn't do the advertising and the content, our philosophy was then, you know, we didn't want to look at those opportunities. But during the pandemic, we changed and we said, we need to get better at content. And so we found a company in France that we had competed against about 5 years ago and lost a bid to them, to one of the original manufacturers to provide content. And we had an opportunity to tuck that business into Captivate. And that is a business that distributes content in 26 languages around the world. So we're pretty excited about what that can do for our business as well.
That is amazing. And I have a feeling many office building workers are thanking you for how quickly you cranked that out and really supported so many. Clearly, you found a way to drive a little bit more revenue through Captivate SCAN. And to leave it on a high note, I want to know how you also supported small business. That was a really nice case study that I read. So if you would share a little bit about that.
You know, Captivate's a small business. And when I came in, it was much smaller than it was in 19. It's now back to being a small business again as our audience is starting to come back in. But what we realized is that even in the worst days of the pandemic, we had an audience of about 2 million, 2.5 million people there. These tended to be senior essential workers, you know, people that needed to be in the office, lawyers, financial people, et cetera. And we said, well, let's do something for the businesses that are out there struggling as well. And so we reached out, we put together a program where we gave free advertising to businesses across our 36 markets to promote their goods and their services. And we felt like if we could do that, it would be good for the businesses, it would be good for the people, you know, in the buildings, and we would create a closer connection with us. Because one of the challenging things when we talk to small businesses or businesses in local markets about advertising on Captivate is they're not able to see the ads because after 9/11, security measures require you to have to go through some form of building access to get in. In the old days, you know, you could just walk into a building and you could sell anything you wanted to sell to the people.
I remember.
That's just not the way. Yeah, you can't do that anymore. And it worked well. The feedback we got was great, both from our tenants, from the buildings, and then from the small businesses. And we'll continue to do that stuff.
Well, Mark, I am glad to hear that you're going to continue to do that because I know people who know people. And Moss Appeal is certainly a small business. And I think we should promote this episode of Insider Interviews on your screens. It's only fair.
That we will do.
All right.
That we will do.
So you mentioned about the ups and downs in audience and also some of the ups and downs in the size of your business. I keep using that phrase, ups and downs. I keep thinking about elevators, I guess. But any life lessons that you picked up from your dad about how to stay in the game, so to speak?
I'll never forget. There was one really, really bad weather game that was a high stakes game. And I was standing by him just as we were ready to go on the field. And I said, gosh, Dad, the weather's terrible. It's raining. The wind's blowing. What are you going to do when you make a decision about the coin toss? And he looked at me and he said, Mark, you don't worry about the things you can't control. You only worry about the things you can control. And with that, the team and he ran onto the field. And it always reminded me that there are things in life that you have control over. And those are the things that you really shouldn't have to worry about because you've got control over those things. And then there are things you have no control over, like a pandemic and things like that that happen in life that you have absolutely no control over. So you can't really worry about those things. You just have to evolve and react to those types of things. And that's what we tried to do at Captivate when we were faced with the pandemic. You know, every year, my dad's teams were always new people. There was always turnover in the athletes. So you had turnover in coaches, you had turnover in athletes. But the one thing that was constant was the culture he tried to create and the discipline that he tried to instill around that culture for the team to understand what was necessary for them to get better. And I think those foundations really helped me realize that life is always in flux and things are always changing. But if you stay disciplined on what you're trying to do, you're mindful of the culture you're trying to create, then you'll be successful. How do you deal with an athlete? He said, you don't treat everyone the same because they're all different. But he says you treat all of them fairly. And you have to be mindful of what it is you're trying to do for both the person and for the team. And when I came to Captivate, when I took the job the first day that I was there, I told the employees that, you know, some of you are here because you want to be, some of you are here because you just have been here for some time. And one of the things that I want to be able to do is to help those of you that want to stay here and create a growing company, because growing companies are fun and shrinking companies are not a lot of fun. So if you want to help me build a growing company, then I want to coach you up and help you be as good as you can be. And those of you that don't, you shouldn't stay here. And I would encourage you to let me coach you out into something you really want to do, that you want to spend your time and your passion on, because you're spending all this time at work. And if you don't enjoy it, you should go someplace where you want to be. I'm not going to say you've got to be gone in 2 weeks, but we would work towards a plan to have you do that. And that's really kind of the philosophy that we, at least that I try to use when I'm looking at a business.
So you got a good bench is where you net it out,
so to speak.
You got a good bench and you got to coach people up and you got to help them be who they are. I think that's really true of millennials and Generation Y as well. You know, in the old days, you'd go to work for a company like my dad did, or possibly your family as well, and you'd stay there, you'd earn a pension, and you know, that was what you did. Today, that's just not the case. I think the average tenure of employee is less than 5 years. So you've got a bunch of people in a social media focused environment about building their own personal individual brands. And then you've got a company like Captivate that's doing the same thing. And the conversation we'll have with employees when they're coming into the company is that, look, no one's sure how long you'll be here or I'll be here, but what we do know is you want to build your brand and we want to build our brand. If we can do that for each other together while we're both involved with Captivate, then you'll leave here whenever you do with your brand in a better place, and we'll benefit from that because you've helped Captivate get better.
So you joined Captivate almost 10 years ago, and the advice for your employees then is basically exactly what workers today are really craving. So you were kind of ahead of your time. Mark Kidd, such a pleasure to speak to you, and so incredibly informative about how you've kind of taken a time of lemons and turned it into lemonade.
Well, I'm really encouraged about where we are as a business. I'm encouraged about where we are as a country in terms of being able to learn how to live with the coronavirus and to go on about our lives. And we're seeing a really steady, solid return across our footprint New York has continued to build back to strong levels, and Dallas, which is where I live, we've always seen this particular market have high levels of people in offices, at gas stations, and mobility after about the first 3 months. So I feel like life will return to normal. Vaccines for children is going to make that even better. So we're pretty bullish and excited about the future, and think 2022, which will mark really the beginning of the 25th month that we've all had to live under this corona cloud. We think the sun's going to shine and the year's going to be a good one.
Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.